This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. So we've been told.
Let's do this.
James, who's been holding for a long time.
Hilarious. What about you just to join told us in our ear.
And it seems like it's a pressing issue we get on now. So James,
the guy's
what's
on
up?
Duty. Let's get to James.
James, go ahead, buddy. Sorry about
Turn
that.
Turn your radio down.
No, that's the other radio. Hey, hold on, guys. I got to do something real quick, all right?
James,
okay, James, are you there, or do you need to take care of the other business?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay,
this
we'll
is live radio.
You.
Nick, you
We're
monitor,
live. Hey,
we'll come back.
Hey, just give me 2 seconds. I'll get right back with you. All right.
Yeah, we'll come back.
We'll
to you, buddy.
Put you on
we'll
hold.
Put you
buddy.
Back on hold.
That's hilarious. We'll explain why in just a second.
Yeah, or maybe he will admit to it.
Yeah, maybe he'll own it. A couple things from the text line before we continue, because we do need to talk about the Rockets. But hey, Barry, longtime listener. Props on The Usual Suspects. Awesome show. Awesome chemistry between you, Joel, and Nick. Crack me up every day. Just wanted to ask, not sure if y'all covered it already, but have any players come out in defense of their teams, either Astros or otherwise? Well, we know Beltran did. We know Carlos Beltran was the guy that came out and said, "Nah, we never cheated on there. If it was happening, we didn't see it."
Before or after the news, though? Right now,
when it broke.
When it broke, he
before
said
before the
he
final
wasn't
report,
aware of it.
Yeah, he said there was no cheating going on. So, other than fires coming out and saying it's happened, I haven't seen a lot of people defending themselves. In fact, it's kind of been radio silence from the Astros and the Red Sox.
No, there was somebody else
that
said while they were there, they had never witnessed
was
it.
Tyler,
like, no, it was Musgrave, wasn't it? Was it Joe Musgrave?
No, it wasn't Joe Musgrave. It was
Musgrave
the,
also said something, though.
It was the third baseman. Colin, was it Moran?
Oh, no. The one with the Mets. The one that's now with the Mets? That they traded because they didn't have room to to play him.
But somebody came out, you're right. Somebody came out and said, look, if they were doing it, it didn't help me. I hit 170
That's
something.
Who it was.
They should have let me in on it. But I thought, yeah, it was a third baseman that got traded.
I'll look
But I thought it was Colin Moran, but I could be wrong.
No, it's not. It's
But yeah, that was the one, you're right. That's the one incident of somebody coming out and saying that if it was happening. But I suspect when you hear those things.
JD Davis.
Excuse me. I suspect when you hear those things, that's just guys coming out and towing the company line of, hey, don't snitch. Just, you know what? Unwritten rules of baseball. You don't throw your teammates under the bus. You don't snitch. You just, if something comes up, you just go, yeah, I didn't know about it. No, we didn't cheat. Of course not. I'm not saying, in other words, I don't believe that he didn't know about it.
Yeah, but you did say he did say no before the report, right? Yeah.
Here's Davis's quote. I wasn't aware of anything, and even if it was there, I wish I'd have known about it because I batted like 180 or 200 or something like that.
Well, see, he shouldn't have said all that.
But I really have no idea or no clue. So he was the first one to say no. The other interesting point, because as I mentioned at the top of the show, boys, I believe that this is going to be situation by situation, and it's like the domino effect, but I believe it was the Astros first, it's going to be the Red Sox next, and the Yankees are going to be right after that. And the one interesting situation, again, when we're tying all these things together, just like Cora went from Astros to Red Sox, who was the bench coach for the Yankees last year? Carlos Beltran. And we mentioned the iPads in the dugout and all these other things.
They're cheaters.
All these people that are pointing fingers now, be careful how staunchly you're pointing the finger because it's going to be turned around at you pretty soon.
Yep. Agree 1,000%. Hey, real quick, before we continue, can I give a shout out to the folks, our fine folks and friends over at the Chick-fil-A 610 and Shepherd.
Yep.
They have the Astros caravan out there today from 3 to 4, so it starts right now.
I tweeted it.
Houston Astros will be out there. They're doing a food drive. I stopped on my way in and donated some non-perishable foods. They were doing it from 11:30 to 5. But if you're in the area, stop in. You're gonna Miles Straw's gonna be there, Cy Sneed's gonna be there, Joe Biagini. Orbit, the whole Astros caravan, donate some food, help some kids that are hungry. And if you do that, they're, if you take two non-perishable food items, they're either going to give you a free sandwich or eight nuggets.
That's nice.
You just got to show up and donate. I took some peanut butter and tuna fish, cans of tuna fish.
Right on.
So I just, I didn't know. I'm like, I don't know what's perishable and what's not. I don't know. Is this ramen noodles? Is this perishable? I have no idea. So I just grabbed peanut butter and tuna. Not that I would combine those two.
I wish my old man would have understood perishable back in the day.
Why?
Because we, like Nick, you had mentioned before about basements. But one of the things when I went back after my dad passed away that me and my sister were just completely just demoralized by was if he found a deal on like canned goods and things like that, believe me, he stocked up. And then we found out, like, we had all these cans that had swollen up like a pregnant woman's belly all over, and our entire basement shelves were, and we're like, damn, dad went like 12 deep on the tomato sauce or the tomato, not the canned tomatoes it. Going, you know, that thing, they don't last forever, dad. I mean, they didn't put like something to preserve them for years, maybe a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, my dad saved everything.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you do, if you're in the area, stop by, donate, help some kids that are hungry, get a free
good
sandwich.
Cause,
and
good
meet some Astros.
For you,
yeah, and meet some Astros. And support friends of the show, the Chick-fil-A at 610
and
Shepherd.
And don't go there and ask them about cheating.
No, no.
That would not be nice.
Mark Berman's probably going to be at the Shepherd and 610 location of Chick-fil-A. Mark Berman, Facts 46. Hey, did you guys cheat?
You could do this, though. Just say, oh, hey, Miles Straw, it's nice to meet you. Yeah, I just swung in for a cheat meal.
What?
Who did that? I don't do that. Don't be a jerk. If you meet them, be nice. Joel, you know, like my dad joke, Joel? That was just for you, man.
I mean, I could have said stay in your lane.
Cheat, man.
Be the originally funny guy.
I'm so ashamed
of
myself.
If you're going to cross lanes and come into the dad joke aisle,
it's
not going to be received well. Okay?
I'm so ashamed of myself.
Time and a place,
I apologize. One more real quick, and then we'll get back to it. Walt said, hey, Barry, hypothetically, if your buddy's headlining a comedy show on both January 24th and January 25th, but at different venues, which one would you choose to invite friends to? This is all hypothetically, Walt. I'd say the 24th, just based on the lineup.
I was going to say, well, also, like, the day of the week, right?
Friday. It's Friday and Saturday.
Oh, so two
But hypothetically, nights. Yeah, two different venues, two different nights. One, obviously, whichever's closer, but lineup-wise, 24th.
Walt's first time ever seeing you in a show. Let us know how it goes, Walt. Thanks.
Walt's awesome. Yeah.
All right, so James is ready, Nick?
Yes, he says he's ready.
All right, James?
James, we've been very patient with you.
Bro, what the hell was that about?
Man, well, when you pass up a cop at 90 miles an hour, you deserve to get pulled over, right?
Did you just give somebody a ticket, James?
I did not.
Oh, good. You're such a nice
guy.
Gave
him a warning?
Look at you.
I gave them a warning. They were happy, and we go about their day.
So you were, hey, were you driving, or were you parked somewhere on the side of the road?
I'm driving.
And so they passed you?
Yeah, well, I'm in a kind of a ghost car, man. You know those ghost cars y'all see out there? So
yeah. Okay.
But,
did you tell them that the reason why they weren't getting a ticket was the usual suspects and they better damn start listening?
No, I'd rather not at the time. I was just trying to get back to you guys.
Okay.
Cool, man. What's on your mind, dude?
Hey, so I had a conversation with my kid last night, 12-year-old football player who was a catcher. I had to explain to her the whole cheating scandal, and you know, went to we took I took her to game seven and everything. You know, I love the Astros. So, in my opinion, everybody's holding up Mike Fiers as a hero. Hey, so be it. You know, you want to you be a whistleblower. Hey, I'm cool with that. I am. So the problem I have with him or everybody is they're holding him up as a hero. But why? He didn't go about and tell anybody why it was happening. He didn't. I mean. He didn't get his contract. He plays against the Astros last season, gets lit up, and then he tells everybody. You know, I don't have a problem with him being a whistleblower, but if you're going to hold somebody up as a hero, why not ask him, why didn't you do it, or tell us during or while it was happening?
That's a really
good
question.
Good point.
James. Yeah, it's a great point. Appreciate the call, James. Thanks for being patient. Yeah.
Thanks for being
and thank you for your service. Yeah,
yes.
Thank you for your service. It is a great point because you know what? You have the opportunity at the time to come out even anonymously. Anonymous source inside the Astros says they're using videos to cheat, and you chose not to do it at the time. Now it just looks like you're just a bitter, jaded
he had an axe to grind. Yeah. And even he said, maybe there is a little in me that's bitter about this. Yeah, maybe. But here's the thing. The other thing we get back to is we've talked about this with the Kevin Durant, Kendrick Perkins situation, and a lot of others. There's a certain player code that goes on, too, where once you've been in a locker room or you've shared personal information with your teammates and things like that, that stuff stays off limits, and it never rears its head. And if you are legitimately following the codes of the players and how they feel like everybody should go about their business, there's things that we all know about friends that we have or had and other things, but you follow a certain level to where do you bring it out? And for what you say about Mike Fiers, I'm not going to say he's a hero. He did what he felt like he wanted to do. I don't even say he had to do it, because we find out that more and more, almost everybody was doing it. But here's the thing. Did you benefit while you were there, Mike? You threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
You won a World Series.
That's your ring.
You know, there was a lot of accolades sent your way, and I'm sure a lot of residuals with appearances and everything. We mentioned the Chick-fil-A's, the things that you got to do and the things you benefited from for being a part and associated with this franchise and winning and doing the things that you did. And then all of a sudden you forgot all about that and just decided, you know what, I'm spraying bullets. Yeah. I'm just bringing it out, and I'm dragging everybody through the mud.
That's why when we played, was it Tucker Barnhart's audio?
Yes,
correct.
When we played that audio, he did mention that he didn't believe that Mike Fiers thought it would get as big as it is, and people would be losing their jobs, and people potentially being, you know, blackballed from baseball. But it's still a mistake. You know better, just like he said. Once you've been in a locker room, you know you're not. So it's even though he didn't expect it to get this big, he's been in the league long enough to know not to say something like that to the Athletic. Okay,
yeah.
To the Athletic, which is what, a tiny publication?
Yeah, it's not like the Springfield News Gazette. You're talking about a big time publication.
So if you don't want to put the blame on him, that's fine. It doesn't mean he ain't a snitch.
I heard someone say, "Well, you know what? He didn't go out and do the interview circuit after that and talk about it in detail." I go, "You know why? Because he had a ton of regret." Bro, by then the damage is done.
Yeah, you throw the grenade in the room. You don't even have to look in there. You know what happened?
That's right.
He's like, "Well, my job is done here. I am the catalyst, and that's it." I do think there's probably some truth to the fact that I don't think Mike Fiers anticipated A.J. Hinch would get fired.
I don't think
he thought he was going to get, you know, Jeff Luhnow fired or Alex Cora fired. But I think he thought, well, I can make it difficult for the Astros as an organization. I can make it difficult.
He wanted to stain them and get them back a little bit for what they put him through.
Almost like, well, if I say it, then there's always going to be doubts if they cheated. And then baseball was like, oh, what? Well, because you said it, we're looking into it. And now here we are.
It's just disgusting. If Mike Fiers was my teammate, I wouldn't even shower in the clubhouse the same time he did. It's just bad snitching-ass cancer cells that get through your pores and take over your body. And you can't. It can't be cured.
But think about Once you get it, it's just a great point. Think about this. He thinks all the damage is done to the Astros and all the people that we mentioned. But the damage is done to him, too. Because you're right. No matter what team he's on, the rest of his career.
I wouldn't trust it.
And we know that guys are gambling. And guys, maybe they're catching a joint every now and then. Or doing whatever they're going to do that may or may not be above the law. And guess what? The minute they see Mike Fiers, they're going to be like... And he's never going to have the same kind of relationships and trust as every other player in a locker room that he's in.
I totally agree. And I will also say this. Hopefully he has the longevity to play longer than a couple years, because I feel like after a couple years, his teammates is going to eventually look past that. Maybe the first year, maybe the second year. If he goes to a new team, like by the third or fourth year, someone's going to eventually, look, man, that was 2-3 years ago. You made a mistake, whatever. They're going to move on. And it's the same thing with D'Angelo Russell. Like, you know, D'Angelo Russell has gone past that, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah, because he sold his teammate out too. What the hell are you laughing at? He's still laughing. What did I say that got him this hysterical?
Did you hear catching a joint?
What? I don't know. Smoking some weed. I'm just saying. Because, you know, believe me, by the way,
maybe
the way
he's over there catching a joint.
What?
I didn't hear that part. So.
Yeah, but just let me.
That was so funny, because I literally was just talking about this the other day about how. Remember how Nick gave me so much crap for saying nickel and dime bags?
Yeah, I remember
the same
that.
Thing. Because I still call them joints and stuff. You like it? Maybe he's catching a joint.
You know, Nick, that Fred made sure to point out that I wasn't one of you guys from the get go.
Who?
But that I'd fit in.
Who said that?
Fred Fowler on the air the other day.
Really? About what?
Because like, when after he filled in, he was like, oh, you know, Nick's Nick. I mean, he's one of us. I'm like, what the hell am I? One of them? And I had to get, what, you're going to haze me? Or I had to prove myself and earn my stripes? Joint
just made me laugh. I'm sorry.
But I'm saying, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to name the name of the player. But we knew that the veteran players on certain teams that I had worked with in the past knew exactly how the drug testing system worked. And the minute, as a veteran, they were tested for the one time they were allowed to be tested based on that collective bargaining agreement, all bets were off. Yeah. They were going to do what they were going to do.
Damn it,
and
Hakeem.
Guess what?
Just kidding. We know.
The fact of the matter is that they only did it around people they trusted.
Yeah.
If Mike Fiers walked in the door and they weren't doing it.
I'm with you on that.
Go.
And I'm with you about it permeating. Like, yeah, once you're a snitch, you're always a snitch. There's no coming back from that. There's no coming back from that.
But there's coming back from this break. So we're going to take a short one, and then we're going to come on back with a lot more of the usual suspects. Come on back and make sure you stay with us. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday.
This song screams disappointment.
It does. It starts out, you played the clean version, but if you played the unedited version, you'd realize that what most people say is exactly how the song starts when something goes wrong.
I used to love this song back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Ah, snap.
Is that what he said at the beginning? Because I really didn't hear the censored version.
I think he
said
hot mess instead, but it's normally ah and then the S word.
I thought they just reversed the word. So hot-ish, right? And you just reverse it?
There's several approaches, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Maybe not. Yeah.
DJ Funny Guy. I think that there's different ways of doing this.
DJ Funny Guy.
Yeah.
All right.
DJ Knee Jerk.
What?
That's Jim Crane.
Are you over there?
My bad.
Are you over there puffing the dubes? What'd you say?
That's Jim Crane.
Catching the dubes.
Oh, yeah. DJ Knee Jerk.
Catching a joint.
Yeah, and then someone that, old ass Joel Doobie. No, I didn't say Doobie.
Yeah, he didn't say Doobie.
Dumbass.
He just said catching
a joint.
So, yeah,
that's on you, old ass texter. Jeez.
They texted that from a rotary phone.
Right. Yeah. You know what a rotary phone is, Nick?
I do.
Did you ever have a rotary phone,
yeah.
Nicholas? You did?
I was old enough for that.
Really?
So wow. As you know, I have logged a lot of hours recently in the overnights feeding Madison. And with doing that, I end up spending a lot of time watching the overnights on many different channels, including ESPN.
Okay.
They brought back a commercial in which they're trying to get parents to make sure that their children are getting physical activity. And they show a child that, let's just say, is portly or wide-boned, and showed how lazy he was in many different activities to where he wasn't getting the activity, you know, wasn't getting exercise.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being that he's at the computer and he finishes his grape soda. And he reaches down and gets his phone and he calls his grandma in the other room and she goes and answers it. And he says, hey, grandma, would you be a good sport and bring me another grape soda? To which she gets very upset. Problem being is you might want to update the video because he pulls out a flip phone to make the call.
Too funny.
And she answers on a rotary phone before she gives you the face of I'm not doing it. And you're like, yeah, good message, but probably lost in the translation of the bad video.
The technology.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So, and then the other thing was Lisa was watching Wendy Williams.
Oh, why?
I don't like that show, man.
No, she's awful.
And Jillian Michaels was on. And evidently, Jillian Michaels from The Biggest Loser and all that.
Uh-huh.
Not only did we have to get all the background and information on her wife that she got divorced from, her new girlfriend, how they're raising their kids and everything. But she made it. First of all, I didn't realize she's so against the keto diet. We should tell AJ this. And Al Roker is so for it that Al Roker, who's, you know, on today's show, you're not supposed to cross anybody and you get paths, get anybody. I guess he blasted her one day and was like, you know, everybody's got whatever works for them. So don't go poo poo on it. If I lost weight and it worked for me, just because you don't believe in it. But she goes out there and says, you know, I know it's a different age and a different time and everything like that, but can we stop being the girl that's comfortable and happy celebrating her obesity or her big, you know, her 200 sure something plus pounds?
Talking about Lizzo.
Well, where it started, but yeah, she wouldn't name Lizzo in this interview, though. But she was like, I mean, if you're out there celebrating the fact that you're going to have heart disease and heart attacks and cancer and die early, why are you celebrating that you're 250?
Yeah, listen to this, because Nora told me about this, so I had to Google it real quick. But she just basically, she said, why are we celebrating her body? Talking about Lizzo. Uh-huh. Why does it matter? Why aren't we celebrating her music? And then she goes on to talk about the fact that, you know, I get that you're going to be, you know, you're comfortable with your body. But when you have diabetes, when you have heart disease, are you going to celebrate those things? Are we going to say that it's okay to be that big and have those health issues? It's not cool to be overweight. It's a health issue. It's a health risk.
And she's saying that because she's big, do you think?
No, she's saying that because of Lizzo, because Jillian Michaels is, like, ripped.
Oh, no doubt she is.
Yeah. She's, like, shredded.
Yep.
There's not an ounce of fat on her body. But she's just talking about the fact that Lizzo's like, yeah, I'm big and I don't care. I'm big as beautiful and I'm happy with my body. And, you know, people are like, oh, you're so brave and this is so great. And I'm not telling you to be uncomfortable with your body, but it is a health issue. And that's her point is, look, I'm glad you're brave and that you're comfortable in your own skin, but diabetes is real.
The thing is, though,
heart disease is real.
Absolutely.
If clogged arteries are real. Then why should you, though? In the case of, you know, not everybody's a workout-aholic, or not everybody is going to watch their diet, and not everybody genetically or otherwise can possibly be skinny and real thin. So just because I understand what she's saying, too, but also you're offending a lot of people that maybe they don't want to work out, or maybe they're just happy being who they are, regardless of what happens to them in their lifetime. It's not for you to say.
Well, she said, as I've stated repeatedly, because she had to do a clarifying statement, because obviously people were upset with her about what she said. She said, as I stated, we are all beautiful, worthy, and equally deserving. I also feel strongly that we love ourselves enough to acknowledge that our serious health consequences that come with obesity, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, to name only a few. I would never wish these for anyone, and I would hope we prioritize our health because we love ourselves and our bodies. It's a fact, man. You can't just, I'm glad you're comfortable with yourself. I'm glad you're happy, but it is a health issue.
Absolutely. I totally agree, Barry. Look, I'll tell you this. For someone like Lizzo, she's been able to use her body to her advantage, like embrace it.
Yep.
She's become popular, all that other stuff. The other thing about Lizzo is that she's young, so she can handle a lot of the overweightness and the obesity right now. Establish yourself as a hip-hop artist, and then later, when it really will catch up to you, start losing weight. Fat Joe, a part of the reason why he's named Fat Joe is because he was fat.
Yep, big pun.
He established himself as a hip-hop artist, and now look at Fat Joe. Fat Joe isn't really that fat anymore.
No.
He lost a ton of weight, and Big Pun,
literally,
who was super close to him.
Big Pun died of a heart attack.
There you go.
Because he was overweight.
There you go.
So, great. If Lizzo dies of a heart attack and we celebrated her bigness,
right,
now what?
I mean, you could still celebrate her bigness if that's what she wants. I'm just saying she's going to have to make the decision.
There's a difference between being comfortable and celebrating it, right? Like, there's a difference in saying, I know I'm big and it doesn't bother me that I'm big. But then I think that Jillian Michaels' point is you're almost glorifying it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That becomes, now you've got these young impressionable kids who are overweight. And it's not that they should be ashamed of it, but we should encourage them to get healthy for the sake of their health so that they're not 17 with diabetes.
Yeah,
right?
They were saying, like, the same thing about those plus-sized Sports Illustrated models. I forgot the really popular one. I forgot her name. But the plus-sized bikini models that Sports Illustrated did. And they said the same thing. They're glorifying the fact that girls are big, and, you know, and some people didn't agree with it. Or guys, you know, they were glorifying the fact that they were overweight models. Like, just because they're big. Like all those models, they embraced the fact that they were big and beautiful.
Yeah.
Like they didn't care.
Yeah. Look, there's a difference. Like I like seeing like if I'm online, if I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy some new jeans, I go to American Eagle. One thing American Eagle has started doing is they'll just use regular ass dudes.
Yeah.
Like dudes with a gut and, you know, like they look like the three of us, just regular ass dudes. They're not models that have, you know, because if I'm looking at jeans, I'm not ripped. I'm not muscular. I'm not. They're like, this model is 6'3 and wears a medium. Bitch, if I was 6'3, I'd be wearing 3XL because my fat ass would not be able to fit in no medium.
But a lot of people do that. You look and think about the commercials that we see a lot, and Ross has a lot of commercials now where they have a lot of females showing a lot of the different outfits.
Just look regular.
And they're, some of them are plus size. Some of them are skinny. Some of them are in between. But they're definitely focused on making that a priority going forward. There's no doubt about
and
it.
And I think the point is you don't have to look like a supermodel. You don't have to look like, you know, some buff, shredded, muscular dude. But at the same time, you shouldn't just celebrate obesity because of the health ramifications of it and the effect that it could have on kids and other people that look at it and go, oh, well, if Lizzo's okay with being overweight and running the risk of coronary heart disease, I should be too. You know, on this show, we've done the weight loss challenge in years past, and it's because we know from firsthand, you know, you and I and Nick, you know, we joke about you being fat and overweight, but you know, Joel and I at one point, at different points in our lives, I've been obese on the scale as obese, and so you realize the health, you know, issues and risks involved, and that's why we do those things and encourage our listeners to get healthy.
Yeah, there's no.
It's not shaming. I mean, we joke about it, but it's not shaming.
And it's also interesting, too, you mentioned Fat Joe, but there's a lot of different guys, too, that part of their popularity, their celebrity was based on, and their abilities was based on being bigger. And when they lost the weight, they also lost
the identity.
The identity, yeah. Yeah. And the result, some people, their voice changed or you know, all these different things that can happen that can just completely throw off kilter what your moneymaker was.
Brandon in the Woodlands, I'm listening to this while I'm ordering Jack in the Box tacos.
Yeah, those things are greasy.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah they are. Well, Missy Elliott is another good example.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are plenty of people that were comfortable with who they were, but realize that, you know, for health reasons and to be around to enjoy your money and your fame, you should probably lose weight. And
absolutely.
Look, if you got kids, you should probably consider making healthier decisions for them. Not just yourself, but it's why I quit smoking. Are we going to glorify smoking? I quit smoking because I was watching a show one day. I was sitting on the couch with my wife, and we were watching a show about a dude that had emphysema. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad that he literally could not sit up on the couch without losing his breath and wheezing. His wife worked 3 jobs and took care of him because he couldn't move. And I looked over at my wife, and my wife has tears in her eyes. As I'm smoking a cigarette, I look at my wife, who has tears in her eyes. And that was the moment when I said, look, I enjoyed smoking. I loved smoking cigarettes. I started when I was 13. But when I saw my wife crying because I realized that she's looking at that going, that's my future, I made the decision to get healthy for her. And so sometimes you don't, if you're comfortable with it, great. But there are other people that are affected by what the decisions you make too.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm totally with Jillian Michaels on this. 100%. I'm not shaming Lizzo. It's just you want to see her be healthier.
I don't want to see her with an assless dress either. Well, that's just a different story all being... between. And she wore it to a Laker game.
Yeah, that's
a little different.
Yeah.
I mean, the seats will be uncomfortable. And from a hygienic perspective, think about what's getting on her cheeks.
Yep. Another good one. Ralphie May. Another good one. Yeah. Ralphie made his living being known as the big guy. And he passed from it.
Uh-huh. And then what's your other guy? The guy that hosted Family Feud, he lost a bunch of weight and put it all back on.
Yep.
Yeah, he lost it all and put it back on. All right, final half hour of the show is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's a beautiful day. Let the dogs
out. Hoot, 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 hoot. Who let the dogs out? This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I was so depressed and disappointed the day that Lisa left the gate open and the dogs got out. It's a song about disappointment. And then I wanted to know who did it.
My chair is sinking.
She didn't want to own up to it right away.
Making my chair depressed.
Well, if that's the case, I better keep going. It's like the Pinocchio effect.
Right.
So final half hour of the show. Boy, it flew by again today.
Really? Every show this week has just flown by.
Just because of all the crazy news, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially because was it Monday? When did it?
Monday. It was all Monday.
It all started Monday right before
we went
on the air.
Come in thinking we were just going to bitch about the Texans and then talk football, and then the hammer dropped on the Astros.
Bill O'Brien is just laughing his ass off.
Yeah, and it's been chaos ever since. And that's it. That's still no news of Bill O'Brien not being the Texans head coach.
Oh, dude, Aaron Wilson is sitting here writing articles about what he needs to do on defense and stuff like that.
Aaron.
Oh, you don't like Aaron?
No, I'm just saying that's a stupid-ass idea.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said Aaron. My bad. But no, Aaron, they're still writing articles as if he's definitely going to be the upcoming coach, the coach for the upcoming season. So
it's just, I mean, it's so nauseating, especially since the Astros, like we said, they took action before they had to, and especially in the case of AJ Hinch, you wonder if they really had to, but they were willing to do the right thing as an organization led by Jim Crane. And then you look at the other organization, and like I said, we haven't heard from Cal all year. Cal McNair, this is the time you, positive or negative, just step up so we can know if we have to deal with the consequences and just face the reality you're going to keep Bill O'Brien.
Just tell us.
Let us know.
Yeah.
If not, tell us that it hurt you too and that what you saw was painful and things have to change and that whether you get rid of them again or not, that you're going to make sure that they do. But tell us something. Don't just let us all dangle in the wind while we see everything else going on in Houston that says we're not going to deal with it, we're not tolerating this, and we're going forward to try and go forward positively. After losing the game the way you did with the lead that you had, it's tough to go forward positively.
I just want to know because I don't want to have to be a fan free agent. I don't want to have to choose between the Packers and the Chiefs. But as long as Bill O'Brien is the head coach, I have no choice. I can't be a Texans fan.
But yet you're not changing your allegiance to baseball, correct?
No.
Okay.
No. Baseball, I'm still an Astros fan. I don't care if they cheated. Everybody cheats in baseball. The Red Sox cheated. The Yankees cheated. I'm not changing that. That doesn't bother me.
Still a Pacers fan in basketball.
No. Okay. That's not. I'm trying to think who I would be a fan of if it wasn't the Rockets. I don't know that there's anybody that appeals to me outside of the Rockets.
I don't like the Clippers with Kawhi, and you don't like the Lakers with LeBron.
Because Pat Bev is a former Rocket. Bucks?
Oh, the Bucks with Giannis, your boy.
Get out of here. No, negative. I'm rooting for the Bucks.
What the hell's wrong?
A history of meh. Meh.
Small Utah market. Jazz. What are you going to do?
A history of meh. What have the Bucks ever done that would make anyone want to root for them?
Won a title in 1971.
Oh, my God.
Were they called the Bucks?
Yeah. They had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when he was Lou El Center. They had Oscar Robertson.
That's back when Cream City was just...
Oh, see why you got to go there.
It was just after dribble at that
point.
It
just wasn't even Cream yet.
I don't know why you had to do that.
Ashley Graham was the plus-size model that I was referring to, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Is she hot?
She's a pretty girl.
Yeah. I think she is, man.
Yeah, she's a pretty girl.
Okay.
I think she's a real pretty girl. I like the pictures.
Are you guys going to watch this Aaron Hernandez thing on Netflix?
I just saw it, and I want to see it.
I want to.
I've heard it's really good.
I saw the tweets. Is it official? It's already officially out, right?
Yeah, it is out. Yeah. I think we should watch it tonight.
Let's do it.
And then report back to... Not tonight. I don't think I can work that in my schedule tonight, but you know what? We'll see. You know.
My schedule. You too busy...
You got a newborn? You
too busy huffing the paint? What did
you
say? You
don't even have cats, so you can't even...
Puffing the...
I can't relate.
We are babysitting or cat sitting for this little terror of a cat that is 6 months old.
You feed it overnight?
Yeah.
You get up and have to feed it several times overnight?
Yeah, in fact, I have to stay up till 1 a.m. so it doesn't wake up Nora because cats are up. They sleep during the day. They're nocturnal. They're up at night. So I have to stay up and play with this little son of a gun so he doesn't go in and wake my wife up because she has to get up at 4:30.
Your little rent-a-cat just took the place of your video game because you'd have been up anyway playing video games.
Not true.
So don't give me that.
Because I'm playing Greedfall, and it sucks.
But you said
spoiler alert. If you're thinking about buying Greedfall for the PS4, just send me your money and I'll just burn it for you. This is the worst game I've ever played in my life.
Now, you said Greedfall that about that other sucks. Game, and then you learned it, and then you said it was a good game the next day.
No, I'm halfway through Greedfall. It sucks. Don't buy this game. I would give it a -7/10.
But in regards to the cat, look, it's 6 months old. Its kidneys could probably handle some NyQuil. You know, it's not going to really hurt anything.
Benadryl?
Rub some Jack Daniels on his gums?
I ain't going to kill the cat.
I'll tell you something right now. Benadryl will knock anybody out.
Yeah, I am not giving a cat NyQuil, Nicholas.
Is it going to kill it?
I mean, it might.
Let's ask Lisa.
No. Shoot,
that would be a hard no.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that to
not
the animal.
Not happening.
That would be a hard no.
I did make my wife buy me because like.
And don't think about putting your genitals on its buttocks.
Oh, don't worry. We're not doing that again.
Again? Hey!
No.
Hey, the pickup line. What do you know?
I was telling my wife, like, you know, young cats and dogs have a lot of energy. They need to play a lot. So my sister, who we're babysitting for because she's on a cruise, she sends over these little toys. And, you know, some of them are just little toys, just individual, like a bone or whatever, but for cats. And one of them is like this fish on a string, right? Yeah. But I have to get up and, you know, do all this stuff. So I told my wife, I was like, you know what? I'm not trying to get up and stand in the middle of the floor with these stupid ass toys and throw them. I was like, buy me a laser. So the wife bought me a laser pointer.
Oh, those things work.
Best thing ever.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they chase it all over the place.
I literally just lay on the couch and move this laser all over the living room. This cat is exhausted by 1 a.m. And I'm just wearing his ass out with this laser. He loves it, and I don't have to move. I'm like, this is beautiful. Cat ownership. This is amazing.
That is the new commercial that needs to be used for how America needs to get more exercise. Yes. Instead of the fat kid with the flip phone calling grandma in the other room.
Just using a laser pointer.
With a laser pointer to get the animal exercise instead of taking it for a walk.
Walking
or
the cat, yeah.
All right, so there you have that. Final segment of the show comes up next. Boy, it went quickly, but we're going to put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz, Fred, AJ, Aaron. They'll take you home till 7. Just keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick just got taken off Lisa's Christmas list. In the break, did a little research, did you?
I did. And so I Googled, can you give cats NyQuil?
Yes.
Dr. Richardson says absolutely not. But what you can do is give it melatonin chews.
So you can't give it NyQuil? Why? It'll kill it? Because
the active ingredient, the antihistamine?
Uh-huh.
That is absolutely lethal to cats.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
No, Barry.
What?
Melatonin chews, bro.
I wonder if, huh?
But I think you have a pretty good setup.
Now, Benadryl,
with the
they
laser.
Say you can give
no.
dogs.
I give that to dogs.
Yeah.
Yes, well, Benadryl has absolutely. Antihistamines in it.
Doesn't matter. You can give
no,
Benadryl.
No, but dogs are different.
Yeah, there are veterinarians that have told us in the past, you can give a dog a thing of Benadryl and
yeah,
literally
I know you can't
calms
give,
them
like,
down and it gets them to just kind of take a nap.
Garlic or chocolate is also two things you should give a cat.
Chocolate is a no-no.
Chocolate is a big no-no.
Yeah. So Nick tried to get me to kill my sister's cat, essentially.
Pretty much.
I was just trying to help you put it to sleep and wake back up.
Yeah, but permanent sleep. You want night forever? Yeah.
No, I mean.
Give the cat Benadryl.
Try it now
listen
and
to you.
Deal with the consequences later.
No, I'm not. No.
People are dropping way too much money for this melatonin stuff, though. I'll tell you
how much
right.
is it?
I mean, the one I saw, the chews, was only $9, but there's a tincture that's like $35.
Now, we used to give the old cat, that the last one to pass that was 21, we used to give him CBD.
Yeah, I mean, y'all should have him a lot more than CBD, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean,
blow weed smoke in his face? No, I wouldn't do that.
I mean, you could have. I mean, actually, that was the right. A lot of people said it's really effective, the CBD. And you were telling me it was making
oh, yeah.
the cat calm, too. So.
Yeah, it was helping. But I'm not giving it NyQuil.
Arthritis it had? There's a couple commercials.
I'm going to isolate all the deaths
pronounce what they
of the
have.
Day.
but they're trying to get you to go to that clinic.
Yeah.
If you're calling it arthritis, I'm not going to see wherever you got your
well,
help from.
You would certainly take Wilford Brimley's advice about diabetes.
I didn't say take his advice. I might laugh at the way he says it.
Maybe.
Alan wants to get in here, by the way, on the topic of cats. This could go anywhere. Alan, what's up?
Hey, guys. Listen, man, don't roofie your cat. I saw a stupid commercial on the television the other day, just watching stupid stuff like Grit TV or, I don't know, Western. And they had this toy that you can buy, and it's like a whack-a-mole for cats. And it has this thing, it comes out a bunch of different holes, and it moves around, and the cat chases it. Wear it out with that, but do not drug your cat.
Appreciate it, Alan.
He's actually right.
I know what he's talking
about.
There's a lot of that sounded new, sexual, though. He started talking about things coming out of different holes and wearing out my cat.
He's right. It's like...
That sounded very sexual, Alan.
It's a toy that the cat is constantly mesmerized by which little opening the mouse thing or whatever is going to pop up on next, and the cat just goes crazy wearing itself out trying to catch it.
I just Googled cat whack-a-mole. Hugs Pet Products Whack-a-Mouse Cat Toy. It's $18.
There you go.
And yeah, it looks like it just pops up like a whack-a-mole almost. Mm-hmm. You know what we did though with the old, like with our old cats? We would get an iPad and they have this app that just puts different things on the screen that move around. And you would just set the iPad
scratch
down.
Scratch the hell out of your screen?
No. Our cats were declawed.
Oh.
But they would, so like there'd be this fish moving on the screen and then the cat would touch it. Like, try to slap the fish, and then it would disappear, and a new one would pop up, and then they would do it again, and that would keep the cat entertained for hours. They'd just sit there and play on the iPad.
The laser,
kid. The laser's great,
I think that's a great investment.
The laser's the best.
Because you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, nothing.
And then you're also going to be the guy at the sporting events and at the freaking
airport. Putting it in Brett Favre's face. No, who was it?
Tom Brady.
Brady. Who else? There was another one, too.
And then they're the people that do it at the freaking air traffic controller or at the airplanes coming in. That's just absolutely asinine.
Yeah, that's dumb.
But I really believed I was going to, I was suggesting you give the cat NyQuil, Alan.
He absolutely did.
He really believed. He's like, don't drug the cat. I'm like, yeah, that's.
Seemed like he was.
Alan, Nick tried to kill the cat.
He sounded like he took NyQuil because he was like, just don't do that.
I thought it was somebody else at first. But
yeah, I did too. I'm with you on that. So. Rockets back at it tonight. Last night, don't think the experiment of resting Russ, which we had talked about, was the brightest of bright ideas, thinking that they were going to just look past the Grizzlies, get that easy win, and prepare for Damon Lillard and the Blazers tonight, because Russ didn't play, neither did half the team the way they went out there. And James Harden on 37 shots was able to get 41 points. Ja Morant and company whooped their ass.
6.5 back now. Fifth place.
Third quarter wasn't really good for them either, was it?
So that whole second half.
At least for James Harden.
Because it was a close game. And then you just watched a young, hungry Grizzlies team that was just hustling all over the place. And they got talent now. And here's the thing. The guy that when they drafted him, everybody thought the Rockets got a sleeper in DeAndre Melton. Or DeAnthony Melton, whatever his name is. He went to USC. Kid was athletic as hell. Was a McDonald's alumni. Everybody was talking about him. And then for academics and otherwise, he kind of slid into the second round. And then he was just an asset to Daryl, who he traded to Phoenix as he begged them to take Ryan Anderson. Now he's in Memphis. Kid is a player. Quickly, they went from a team that was going nowhere good and just stockpiled a bunch of young talent. Memphis, right now, quietly,
they were the 8 seed. Yeah, I was going to say they're the 8 seed. I don't know if they moved up at all.
They might be Denver next year, maybe, you think?
I don't think they're there yet.
No?
Because they don't even have that one guy to say, oh, they have Ja. Ja Morant's going to be that guy. But I don't know that they have any kind of nucleus of
chemistry.
Yeah, it's coming in the next couple of years, especially if they have another good draft. But Jaren Jackson Jr., a 7-footer that can shoot the three and play all over the court, has showed he's legit. Ja Morant, legit. Brooks and some of these other guys that they've gotten out of the draft, they're not to be looked past. And now you get another L, and now you got a back-to-back, and now you come home against a Portland team that's hungry on national TV to prove that they still may be something. Melo's going to have an axe to grind.
Yeah, but man, the Blazers are What is wrong with that team?
Well, because they're still missing their two bigs. They still have had a ton of injuries. So, you know, they're not even at full strength yet.
I tell you what, nobody's talking about the Jazz.
10 in a row.
They are on fire right now. 14-2 in their last 16 or something like that.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert is playing his ass off.
Yeah.
Not just him, though. Spider Mitchell's playing great. Bogdanovich is playing great. Joe Ingles is playing great. Mike Conley, who's been crap all year, and yet they're still winning. They've won 10 straight games.
Crazy.
That's a good run. So yeah. Rockets got to be careful that they, you know, they kept saying it's just going to take time and they're going to be there at the end. Well, the end will be near if they don't get home court advantage. And they can't afford a free fall. So tonight's an important game. National TV, late start, 8:30. They got to take care of business.
They need to. Because Portland's not playing that well. They're regarded as a good team, but they're not playing that well. You don't want to lose to Portland while they are down.
But Nurkic, they've still been without Nurkic, and they've got some. The other thing was, too, that they didn't realize how good their supporting cast members were, and they started trading them away. Mo Harkless was a guy that did a lot of great things for him, and he was gone. And El Farik Aminu and some of these guys that everybody kind of took for granted. But, boy, they were that little kind of chemistry piece that kept the peace in the locker room, did their role, played it well, helped them be a better team, and now they're gone. And now
those Portland's unsung heroes.
Yeah, right? Portland's figuring out what the Rockets had to deal with a couple years ago when you let, you know, good pieces get away and suddenly tried to fill them with square pegs and round holes, and now you got problems.
Yeah.
Even Joe, was it Ingles? Is it not Ingles?
Joe Ingles.
It's Ingles.
God, I roasted that dude.
But he can shoot.
He definitely wears Bugle Boy jeans, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when you were tweeting about that?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
He had 27 points.
Last year was fun.
He had 27 points against the Nets on the road. Random thought, by the way. I love their court, that two-tone gray.
The Nets?
I love
the color. Beautiful. You know what's weird? And someone pointed it out today. I don't know if they did this intentionally or not, but it gives you the effect of like when people do video and they highlight a certain, like you got to, you know, they highlight it with a certain different color.
Mm-hmm.
Every road team, and I don't think they should have did this, because their uniforms are black and white, too.
Gray.
Every road team sticks out like they're the only players on the court.
Yeah. Really? Well, they had gray unis last night. I thought it looked good. I dig it. It's pretty cool. It's a bunch of muted colors and stuff,
yeah.
But the court looks great. It's got this marble-ish look to it.
It's like two tones of gray,
it's
one in
modern.
The paint, and then one everywhere else.
Very modern. I dig it.
It
really
gives you almost a 3D effect, though, that the one team sticks out a whole lot.
That is true, too. The colors really pop. Real quick, somebody just said, just got a free sandwich and a pick with Orbit at the Chick-fil-A on 610 and Shepherd.
Nice.
Good looking out. I dropped off some cans. Good for you. Way to help.
Yeah, we
kids.
Appreciate
That's
that.
That's awesome.
For sure. We appreciate you, by the way, listening every day, too. So it's about our time to sign off so that the Blitz can sign on. So for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on The Usual Suspects, 1 to 4 p.m. daily, ESPN 97.5.